B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
I think we're ready.
I think we're... I'm warmed up.
Yeah, I'm warmed up, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And, of course, on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Another week with Al Beck and James and myself, Chuck Bean. I say another week because you guys are going on vacation next week. So the next couple of weeks of episodes are still up in the air.
Yeah, it's a little.
Are we going to do it?
So savor the gang while you got it now.
Right, exactly. You may have to take a short vacation from us, but don't worry. We will definitely continue to do episodes once you guys get back.
Bringing in the robots next week.
Yeah, I'm going to look into the B team.
And welcome to Nerd Radio.
The B team just means they're not on it as much.
That's true. No, the B stands for best.
Yes.
As we have discovered.
Well, what the hell are we doing here then? James, let's get out of here. We're not on the best team?
No.
They're the team that doesn't knock the show off the rails every couple of minutes.
Hey, if you haven't booted me off this podcast yet.
I was telling you before we started, this may be the least prepared I've ever been for an episode of Nerd Radio.
And I said, we're in trouble because you're the only one who does prepare.
Yeah, you're the only one who actually has any preparations.
But I did quickly find some stuff. Actually, I saw on my Facebook this morning something to hit up. So Avengers Endgame is going to be adding footage at the end of June.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that headline.
They're going to be adding some extra, like an end tag to it or whatever like that. Like
a new cutscene?
Post-credit scene or something like that.
All right, so it's not like it's a bunch of...
No, it's not like a huge extended cut. Like, hey, you know how this movie was almost 3 hours? Well, it's over 3 hours.
Because you and I were just talking about this earlier this week after, at Shift Change, about the Lord of the Rings, six of those movies, how we've seen all of them. We enjoy them all. Would like to go back and watch them again. But again, as nerdy completionists, I have to have the extended version.
Right.
And it's just you and Chuck because I'm not a Lord of the Rings.
Okay, well, then the two of us are. Let's but
making that clear.
The longer we talk about it, the more likely Ken's going to come pep us out here. I heard somebody talking about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. He's read some of the history books that Tolkien wrote.
He has.
I do want to see that Tolkien movie, though, about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But neither of us will watch it because it's such an undertaking.
It's a huge undertaking.
I would love to go back and watch all of them again, but it's just, oh, my God. It's 4 hours apiece.
It's not uncommon for you to look at something, as we discussed with Endgame, and be like, man, that's a huge undertaking. Yeah. When I look at something and say it's a huge undertaking, then it's probably a pretty huge undertaking.
That's true.
It's probably like 2 hours.
Point. Yeah, that's a good
point. Do I have 2 hours?
Yeah.
But you're just saying Lord of the Rings is the huge undertaking, right? All those movies?
Oh, yeah.
You're not saying the Endgame adding a couple cutscenes.
Well, I'm just saying. If it's already 3 hours, and I'm sure I will watch it again. And a couple of cutscenes I'm fine with, but if they're gonna like, here's another hour of movie,
the extended battle with Thanos,
exactly. But if it was like another 30 minutes, 60 minutes, yeah, I would watch it, but probably only one more time,
right?
You know what I mean?
No, Kevin Feige said that in a quote, he said that it's part of a marketing push to try and push the movie over the Avatar hump.
It's all about the Avatar dollars.
Yeah, but they said if you stay and watch the movie after the credits, there'll be a deleted scene, a little tribute, and then a few surprises, which will be starting next weekend. So I don't know. I went and saw it twice anyway.
I've seen it twice.
I just saw it the once. Mm-hmm. And I was proud of myself for going to a 3-hour goddamn movie.
Right.
Because it was such an undertaking.
Man bladder, I had to get up and pee 14 times.
I did.
But, a movie that I haven't gone and seen even once is what is now being officially called a flop, the X-Men Dark Phoenix movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. The second weekend saw an 83% drop. So, so it's officially has not done well.
So probably, an 83% drop on top of an already disappointing opening. So that's like almost 100% fail.
I bet you Hugh Jackman's feeling pretty good right now. Like, they needed me.
Yeah, exactly. The one movie I wasn't in. Look at this.
He's like, I told you I was carrying the whole X-Men franchise.
Right. I really stopped and thought about it when I was reading about it, and I really feel your pain, Al, being a huge Green Lantern fan.
Oh, yeah.
To see my X-Men movie just bomb.
Yeah.
And then in the same summer, also have to deal with, Grant Morrison taking over Green Lantern. You're like, no. And I've got Jonathan Hickman taking over the writing duties of X-Men next month.
These are dark days. These are dark days.
I do still love X-Men.
Yeah, and I still love Green Lantern, but yeah. God, and I'm still reading it, but Grant Morrison just makes my head hurt.
Do you have a specific, like, creative team on Green Lantern that's probably your favorite?
Oh, I mean, Geoff Johns, dude. I mean, I'm a big Geoff Johns fan anyway, but yeah. Geoff Johns really expanded the Green Lantern universe, you know, introduced, like, all those different, so many colors on the spectrum that right. weren't being used.
The Red Lantern, the Red Yellow Lanterns.
The Yellow. Oh, no, the Yellow was already around, but... like Larfleeze.
Yeah.
The Fuchsia Lantern's definitely my favorite. Fuchsia. That Fuchsia Lantern, man, that guy is a rascal.
What is the representation of the Fuchsia? So, like, there's the Star Sapphires, which are
Star Sapphires.
The yeah. orange, the Larfleeze is supposed to be green.
Avarice, yeah.
The Red Lantern's a Rage, which yep. I just realized there was a special
this
that came
Compassion
up.
Yeah. is in there. That's the blue, I believe.
There's two different blues. Because there's hope and there's compassion and there's like the dark blue and the light blue.
Indigo.
There you go, indigo. Yeah, so there could be a Fuchsia Lantern.
Yeah, it's for when you're high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Stoner Lantern.
Is that you sure it's not the Paisley Lantern?
Oh, I guess it could be Paisley too. I didn't realize Paisley was a color.
Isn't that a country singer?
Well, Brad or Brian Paisley? I thought Paisley was like those weird designs on like old pairs of boxer shorts.
It probably it is.
Like those little swirly weird things that almost look like if you're looking underneath a microscope.
Yeah.
yeah.
And you can't tell if you're looking at like an STD or if you're looking at some sort of a wallpaper design that they've made for men's underbriefs, you know?
Yeah.
I found out something that now you talk about talking under a microscope, and I feel like I need to share this with the class because I found out something over the weekend. I was hanging out with Ghoul.
Hell yeah, everybody, here it comes.
Here it comes. Yeah, no, I was hanging out with Ghoul, and we were just talking, having a good time, or whatever like that. Did you know Metallica's Load album?
Oh, God.
Do you know what that's a picture of?
I hope it's diarrhea.
No, I mean, it always looked kind of like fire. But
I thought it was lava or something.
It's blood and
come out.
Ah, okay.
God.
Funny.
I never.
So it is a load. It's a picture of a load.
I never ever want to
see. Yeah.
Oh my God. What a revelation.
I never ever want to see that album cover ever again.
Oh my God. Now what is reload?
Well, that was when they went back for seconds.
Oh, it gets worse.
Oh no.
It's blood and urine. That's what I was told. It's you know what? I could be complete. I didn't even look it up because
it's like a Metallica urban legend.
I was so disgusted by that by that implication.
I ain't no bitch.
That's all you got.
This was not even the actual lyrics.
Right,
screwed it up.
Let's talk about something a little bit cooler, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, you mean cooler than blood?
Come out
and urine?
Yeah.
God. Way cooler.
What is cooler than that?
No, way cooler.
It's like three of the four.
Oh,
like,
God. Food I groups. Do. You know what? I'm actually.
Food groups.
milk lemonade, baby. There you go.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Around the corner, fudge is made.
I'm not even going to tell you what I was going to tell you to say now.
No,
come on.
That's disgusting.
No, that's it. That's the podcast of the week.
No, yeah. I don't know that I can come back.
The end.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can recover from that, but I will try.
I am happy about this news, actually, because I hate those albums so much.
Isn't that kind of interesting? Much. They're not albums, even hardcore Metallica fans, not real big fans of those albums. And then on top of that, like... The front cover is like the most disgusting thing you probably ever see.
Yeah. I tried to listen to it again. I'm like, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something I'm just missing. No.
There's songs in there that I'm all right with. There's like Fuel or King Nothing that I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. It reminds me of like AC/DC and that AC/DC song's like, you know what you're getting when you buy a new AC/DC album. Mm. So you're just looking for something that's a little catchy. That's the same flavor that you've been listening to the whole time.
You mentioned a couple.
Back to the food groups.
God damn it!
Same flavor. I bet it's salty. Salty with a hint of must.
Nope. Well, if you're going to stick around for the podcast after this, we will talk about stuff that is not bodily fluid related.
Right. And we will be
disgusting.
Putting together our resumes.
Yeah, right.
The next segment will be more aromatic.
James decided he's going on vacation, so will we all.
Permanently. I'm a permanent vacation. They can't fire you for putting an obscene material in a podcast you do for free.
I guess we're going to find
out.
Come on. You can't, like, fire. They can't say you're not doing your job. Yeah. I mean, this is volunteer work.
That's true.
You know, this is employer-mandated community service.
Oh, what a
So our
sad...
services are no longer needed. Okay.
What a sad community. I hate to be the HOA on that community. Yeah. This is...
It's probably the most loosey-goosey HOA you'll ever deal with, though. We don't have rules. We don't care.
This is
come out. Blood and urine anywhere.
This is why when I send them clips to advertise for the podcast, they send me emails back saying, no, we want something that makes people want to listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
Just direct all those complaints to me.
Yeah, we've had a few. We've had a few clips.
I make sure I
back.
Will not permit them in the new spam filter we
have.
Oh, God, well.
All right, let's reset, and we'll come back with some more Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This just in. Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network on social media, Nerd Radio 101, and everywhere. We're everywhere. Everywhere, Kyle.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Cal.
I just want to... Doesn't James want to be in on this?
Yeah, he'll be in.
Okay.
He'll walk in. It's cool.
That's all right.
It's all right. It's the kind of thing... We're like lackadaisical here on Nerd Radio. You know, people can come and go as they please.
That's very true.
Which is why we have you on every couple of weeks, too.
I know. I'm back.
Because we all lead busy lives, and we're all super into nerd stuff.
That is true.
Welcome back to the show, GK.
Thank you.
It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you.
Usually we have you on, we talk about either like some Overwatch or some Magic the Gathering, something like that. But, I discovered a couple of weeks ago when the new movie came out, how big a Godzilla fan you are.
Yeah. You had no idea.
I really didn't.
G-Man fan I am.
Now, where does this start? When did you first become a fan of the giant lizard?
So
Tokyo.
I think the first movie I ever saw was... I remember, I don't know if you remember, but there was a local television station around the time of Thanksgiving. They would always show Godzilla movies for some reason.
Yep.
I can't remember what channel it was, but I just remember Godzilla stomping around the huge Thanksgiving Day parade, I think in, New York. And, the first movie I ever saw was, I can't even remember the title of it, but I think it was these aliens from, I think, Planet X. So, and they're like, oh, we're trying to hide away from the monster. And it was Monster Zero, which is King Ghidorah.
Yes.
And
that's the big three-headed one for people that aren't huge Godzilla fans.
And that's the first movie I saw. And I've seen a lot of some of the Showa era, which were the first, Godzilla films,
right?
Which they were kind of more like kid friendly. He went from like terrorizing.
That's the thing that's always funny about Godzilla movies is that you can always say, hey, there's James.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the show.
I'm busting in like Godzilla.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing that's always funny about Godzilla movies though is that like if you don't watch any of them, the first thing you notice is like, oh, he comes in and he stomps through town. But and so many of the movies, like Godzilla is defending the Earth from like a different monster.
It's a misunderstood monster.
Yeah.
She is a misunderstood monster.
But I grew up watching that, and then the Heisei era, which was probably what a lot of people are familiar with, where you see like Godzilla versus Space Godzilla, Godzilla versus Destoroyah, all the like the
Mecha Godzilla
ones, like and there's obviously repeats of some of the films, but it's a really good series, and then. You had the Millennium series, which was Godzilla 2000.
Sure.
Which Toho was like, yeah, you made the 98 American Godzilla, and that was trash. So here you go. Here's this. And he fought against some UFO monsters. So there's been a couple different eras. And when I found out that Legendary Pictures was making Godzilla again in 2014, I'm like, oh! With some unnamed new monsters. That was kind of cool.
Right.
But... Godzilla King of the Monsters was, whoo.
That's the new one.
That's the new one.
Yep.
It's the one with the girl from Stranger Things.
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown. Yep.
I just always know Bobby Brown, and I'm ever like, is it Millie?
It's Millie.
Is it Millie? Or is it Billy? Is it Billy Bobby Brown?
What is it about the about Godzilla that you really enjoy so much?
He's just I think it stems from like when we're all kids, we love dinosaurs and sure. all that. But I've always been fascinated with giant creatures and like just monsters. You know, I remember being a kid and watching Dracula and, you know, the Dark Universe stuff. So Dracula, Wolfman, Frankenstein, right. the Invisible Man, all that. And that kind of stems from that as well. I love that kind of creature horror kind of aspect, which is why I also love Aliens as right. well. And
have you seen the Monster Squad?
I don't think
I have. Wolfman's got nards!
So, it's a movie from the 80s where like these kids have to team up to save the world from the Wolfman, the creature from the Black Lagoon, Dracula, and Frankenstein.
Oh, you would love it, Kyle.
Yeah, if you're a Universal Monsters fan, you should definitely
sounds
see it.
Really campy and great.
It is.
It's really good. It's really funny. It's yeah, a good it's watch. Fun. You'll enjoy it.
But I love Godzilla for a lot of those reasons. Plus, he's also a symbol for different, you know, events. Like the 54 Godzilla, which was in black and white, came out of the fact that, hey, you know, we were testing atomic bombs in the Pacific, and right. this boat came by, and these guys all got sick, and, you know, they were starting to kind of, not like change into something else, but, you know, high amounts of radiation
right.
Changes your DNA structure.
Like a lot of the early Marvel stuff, like the Hulk correct. And the X-Men or something like that, are born out of that.
A lot of the comics from that era came out of the atomic age,
right.
hence such things like the Hulk and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And but that fascinated me.
And then it seems like lately Godzilla is more of a creature of the planet.
Yes.
So a lot of the Godzilla stories will talk about the fact that we're poisoning the planet, and Godzilla is like, stop it! That's why he comes in and stomps down the town.
Correct. So in this one, in the Legendary series, they're calling it, he's basically a force of nature. He's just a... There was Godzilla before there was humans. And then, like, as humans came to develop, they worshipped Godzilla as, well, a god.
He's the OG Earth Defender.
Yeah.
Yep. And in this one, he's less of a terror and more of, hey, these creatures have been here for so long that we've forgotten about them. And now all of our wars and testing and, like, degradation of the planet have woken them up. And they're kind of coming back to life because we're messing up.
Okay.
They're here to kind of correct the problem. So that's what King of the Monsters kinds of talks about. And obviously you have, for Game of Thrones fans, I can't remember the actor's name, but he plays the oldest Lannister that gets killed by, sorry, spoilers. He gets killed by, Peter Dinklage.
Okay.
He's sitting on the toilet. But
hell of a way to go out.
Yep.
Just like Elvis, but a little different.
Yep. But he goes around and he's like, hey, I'm an eco-terrorist and we want to reshape the world to, you know, we're already like diseased and war profiting and we need to stop it all and save the planet. And his idea is to go around and wake up all these titans and pretty much kind of destroy the planet and teach humanity a lesson. And,
okay.
You know, I think with just Godzilla existing teaches humanity a lesson, but the movie is really, really cool. So it starts out with Mothra, and you get to kind of see her in her larval form, just peaceful, and then all of a sudden they, like, shock her with electricity, and she just starts spitting, like, webs everywhere and being like, screw you, get away from me, you know, and they have this cool thing called it's like a tablet device called the Orca, which can mess with the brain waves and acoustics of these animals.
Okay.
Because in retrospect, they are not monsters. They are, in fact, animals. And it kind of makes them go nuts or calms them down, and it's really kind of cool. And sciencey jargon ensues, and it goes on a world-spanning adventure to try and stop this eco-terrorist from waking up all the monsters, and they go to Antarctica, where, lo and behold, Monster Zero is King Ghidorah, the false king.
Because doesn't each particular like land mass have its own monster essentially?
Yeah,
in this movie?
Some of them have two.
Okay,
so like in America, I think we had two. In like not Indonesia, but in Mexico, they had two. So they're all over the place.
That's fascinating because that seems to borrow a little bit from Pacific Rim.
Yes,
because they each robot came from like a different
from a different
country or continent. Yeah,
or any video game you've ever played.
Yep,
fair enough.
You know,
yeah, for sure. It's funny too because I've not watched a ton of Godzilla movies, but whenever there's a movie that's not based in Godzilla, but is a kind of a Godzilla type movie, like the first Cloverfield or something like that, or like the Pacific Rim movies, I'm like, oh, I want to watch that. I want to see that. That sounds cool.
Who doesn't love giant monster movies?
Dude,
and robots.
I got them tattooed on my leg.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's awesome.
But the movie's really, really good.
Yeah, I heard there's much more monster fighting in this than there has been in previous ones.
There's a ton of monster fighting.
So they're just right out. They got the monsters right in plain view instead of all the other movies kind of dodging around it, like trying to use the monster as like, you only see a little bit of it.
Correct. Right.
Here's its eye looking in the window.
I think a little over, I want to say 45 minutes into the movie, you don't really see King Ghidorah at all. Because he's frozen in a giant block of ice.
Sure.
But when they finally wake him up, oh boy, is it awesome.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, oh my God, all the heads are like, oh my God, what was this nap for? And then like, there's these little minion things running around firing weapons at me. Shocks them all. It's like, it's just really cool. Of course, there's casualties along the way.
For sure. That always seems silly to me, too, whenever there's, like, a dragon or a monster, like King Ghidorah or Godzilla or something like that, the military always fires on it, and I'm like, that never works.
No.
It never ends well. Why would you even bother?
That's, but there's a few sad moments in the movie. I won't spoil them for
How many
you guys.
Times did you cry?
I cried a bunch of times.
Did you cry? No. Did you cry about monsters?
I did cry about monsters.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And one human.
Yeah.
But it's all really good. The monster action was put up to 1,000, and it's funny,
so it's no
actually,
longer men in rubber suits
no,
dancing
it's
around,
all,
right?
They're okay. All CGI.
Right.
But they are CGI mocap, so it's not men in suits, rubber suits per se.
But they motion capture somebody.
They're motion capture someone like crawling on the ground.
Similar to like how they did Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, or what's the guy from Lord of the Rings?
Benedict Cumberbatch. He got on the ground to be Smaug.
Yep.
He did all the mocap for that.
Okay.
Which was really cool. And I actually read a review, like, around when the movie came out. They're like, it focuses too much on the monsters. I'm like, it's supposed to.
I know. That's the thing. That would be like saying a Transformers movie has too many robots in it. Like,
why are there all these robots? Why are all these cars changing into robots and shooting stuff?
Right.
Like, I don't think the critic understands that it's called Godzilla.
I came here to watch fast cars. Well, then go see the Fast and the Furious.
Right.
Yes. But you get to see some really cool set pieces, some really cool kind of tech. They make some odes to how they killed the original Godzilla in the 1954 movie, which was
cool.
The oxygen destroyer and hint, hint. Some and like if you love Godzilla, or if you want to know more about Godzilla, or you just remember it as a kid, there is so many Easter eggs in this movie. I've seen it three times in theaters. Might go see it for a fourth.
Wow.
There's so many Easter eggs in this movie.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. And
now you obviously a big Godzilla fan. What are the bad ones? Because I've heard the last couple haven't been great. So as a huge Godzilla, you know, as a dyed-in-the-wool Godzilla fan, what are the ones that you're like, yeah, you can avoid that one?
In terms of what, like monsters or
just in general, like what are some of the Godzilla movies you've seen that didn't quite cut the mustard for you?
I'm when it comes to movies, I'm like, you have a monster movie. It's kind of, I would say they definitely corrected their issue with the 2014 movie with Bryan Cranston, and that they didn't kill off the first thing they did bad in that movie was not enough Godzilla. He was only in approximately almost 30 minutes of the entire 2-hour run.
Okay.
That's not cool.
Right, it's a Godzilla movie.
Like,
I came to see Godzilla.
I know you were trying to like set up kind of like, oh, he's coming back and like amp you up, but while the set pieces of the monsters were really cool, I would like to see more focus on the main character. It's not called Bryan Cranston
guest starring Godzilla.
The dead guy, guest starring Godzilla. It's right. Like, and they killed off Bryan Cranston way too early. Like, not even 20, 30 minutes into the movie, his character is dead. And he is like the, he was the one.
In the trailers and stuff, he was kind of the focus.
He was the focus.
Right.
And they just killed him off. And that was like, so they definitely stayed away from those. They focused more on the monsters and then on better set pieces. And
because I know that the Godzilla fans that I have talked to before do not like the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
No,
the monster is drastically different.
Yes.
And they're not cool with it.
That's not even a Godzilla movie, in my opinion.
Okay.
So that's how I think.
That's what I was trying to get to. Now,
the only thing good that came out of that movie was a Rage Against the Machine No Shelter song.
I was going to say the soundtrack for it is pretty killer. I love the version of Brain Stew that's got the Godzilla roars in it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Now, do you experience Godzilla in other medium? Like, you know, there's been Godzilla comic books. There's been Godzilla video games.
Video games are something. Godzilla porn.
There has been Godzilla porn.
He's like, I love Godzilla porn.
Oh, God. isn't it called furries?
I think it's going like watching a giant kaiju get it on with another giant kaiju.
Right. Yeah, well, there's kaiju pro wrestling.
Yeah.
There's guys in
Is God, there really?
There is, yeah. Oh, there's guys that dress up in kaiju costumes and then get in the wrestling ring and go about. So
it's kind of like Lucha Libre kind of stuff.
A little bit, yeah. So have you played any of the Godzilla games over the years?
The only one that I remember playing was on the GameCube, and it was, I think, Godzilla Destroy All Monsters. And
yeah.
It was just a fighting game.
Right.
That was okay. It was cool. But as far as, like, video games, it's when it comes to Godzilla, it's hard. You can either do a fighting game or...
It's weird because you would imagine in a world where the game Rampage exists, like that's all you need to do in a Godzilla game.
Yep.
That's probably my main connection to Godzilla is
Rampage.
That game, man.
Yeah. Rampage.
Love that on the NES.
Yep.
I still need to go back and watch that movie that they made, what, last year, the year before the Rampage movie?
Oh, it's a total, like...
I'm sure it's awful.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sure
it's fun. Like,
yeah.
You just know you're going to watch The Rock.
Yep.
And there's going to be a bunch of huge monsters fighting.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you need to know, and that's all you need to expect. And if that's what you have going into the film... You'll have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm looking for. It's the same
thing.
There's
some crazy references from the game, I feel, that they put in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's always good. But my only issue with the new movie is that there was not enough Mothra. And Mothra, they put a lot of work into Mothra for this film.
Yeah.
Like, just in terms of her design and she gets a few good licks in on a lot of the... on King Ghidorah and Rodan, and it is fantastic.
Right.
But, you know, I won't say any spoilers, but if you've seen Godzilla movies before, well, you know what happens when those four monsters are involved with when it pertains to Mothra, but...
Do you think they're gonna make a sequel?
Oh, I think so.
Is it kind of set itself up to do another one?
They already have one. It's going to be Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Which is coming out next year. They're pushing it back, they just said, because they feel like they could do... The movie did... Godzilla King of the Monsters did, I guess, not as great as they were expecting.
Okay.
Which, you know, I understand... This is why I don't like places like Rotten Tomatoes. It's like Rotten Tomatoes, like, grills movies. And it's just like, you can't have movies like Pacific Rim... and Godzilla King of the Monsters exist in our like reality as far as like moviegoers are concerned, because they're like, well, it's just a dumb movie, you know, it's just dumb. But that's the point.
Right. Well, like we were just saying about Rampage, like you don't walk in expecting Shakespeare, man. Walk in expecting, I'm going to see some monsters fight each other. So it's my Transformers movies all over.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where it's like, dude, am I going to see a car turn into a robot and punch another robot in the face?
Have a little,
that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. You got to have a little imagination.
Like, and that's, I feel where, that's where like, I feel that Rotten Tomatoes and reviewers just, they like, and I get it. You don't want to go and waste your, going to the movies is a lot of money now. You don't want to waste $30
but it's,
and have a disappointing experience.
It's a fascinating, you know, in the last couple of years, it's a fascinating thing with Hollywood where, like, people can review bomb a movie. Like, say, Captain Marvel, for instance.
Yeah.
People can immediately go on a site like Rotten Tomatoes and, you know, a couple thousand people can tell you this movie sucks before they've even seen it.
Yeah.
To try and influence people who strictly check the site to be like, oh, well, that's not worth my $10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, and like that even... getting off topic here, but that was just like, that kind of irked me. It's just like, you know, I know you want to go. It's supposed to be a popcorn movie.
Yeah.
It's a big, dumb popcorn movie. What do you think Fast and the Furious is?
Oh, for sure.
Big, dumb popcorn movie.
Right.
But without monsters. So just go shut up and be happy. Just go see it.
Excellent.
But yeah, for me, Godzilla was a phenomenal movie. I loved it. My only thing was need a little more Mothra, which I'm sure if they continue to really do well with these movies,
right,
they'll make their money back.
Well, and the best thing anybody in entertainment medium can do is leave you wanting a little more.
Exactly.
So,
which,
you know, if they're gonna make a direct sequel to this one after Godzilla versus Kong, maybe they'll put a bunch of Mothra in that one.
Yep. And then there was a post credit scene, which was super cool.
Yeah.
Which leaves a little to be left desired in terms of, like, it gets you thinking, what are they going to do next?
Right.
And then during the, not even the post credit scene, but just during the end credits, there was so much in terms of, like, hints and winks and nudges in different directions. You're like, dude, this is so cool.
Okay,
so,
I got one last question before we move on from Godzilla here. Blue Oyster Cult Godzilla song.
Is it
in there?
Yes, they did that one, but it's Serge Tankian instead.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Serge Tankian did a...
I did hear his version of it, so I just wanted to make sure it's somewhere in the movie.
Yep.
Okay.
And then just to top it all off, that the song was great. It plays during the credits.
I don't know how you make a Godzilla movie after that song exists without putting that song in the movie.
Exactly. And they actually, which I thought was super cool, I didn't even know they were doing this, they put Mothra's theme, Ghidorah's theme, and Godzilla's theme from the old movies, rehashed them.
Excellent.
So you have the original Godzilla roar, you have the original Godzilla song, the theme, the dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And so go see Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with some more Nerd Radio. That's you're now our Godzilla expert.
I think he's like the Godzilla expert.
If we got some kaiju news or some kaiju questions, we'll definitely have you in.
Like, what's up with Mothra today?
All right, Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm Tony Maiello, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going!
Where was I?
Actually, I'll just tell you something. I'll just tell you the story after that. So I'll start the show. Welcome back to Nerd Radio here on the podcast page, WRAF.com, and on social media at Nerd Radio 101. We are back with decidedly less disgusting show.
Well, we hopefully don't know yet. We don't know yet.
I am promising this show will be less disgusting, which almost lays down a gauntlet for James.
I was going to say, are you just turning his mic off?
Challenge accepted.
You realize what you've done, right?
We just went from tasting bodily fluids.
Nope.
What are we going to eat in this segment?
So,
what are we going to eat in this segment?
Typically, we'll do a segment about World Wrestling Entertainment if they have a pay-per-view or something coming up. This weekend is Stomping Ground. The show is so lackluster this week, it doesn't even get a whole segment. I'm just gonna
it's almost like just a reliving of the Saudi Arabia botch.
Yeah, I mean, they have... I'll tell you what, Monday night was okay, but I don't know if I've become accustomed to such a crappy show that this one being significantly less crappy was okay, or if it was actually okay. Last night on SmackDown, me and Amy are sitting there watching it, and Dolph Ziggler is wrestling, and he's got these these vinyl pants or whatever like that, and he's got the flag on the back of his hands.
Yeah.
And as soon as they had got a shot of it, Amy looked at me and like, "That's America's ass."
Perfect.
To which I replied, "He's got the whole flag on his ass."
Yeah, he debuted those at the Saudi Arabia, was it Super Showdown?
Oh, really?
Call it. Yeah. He wrestled around in those.
I'm sure those were real popular. in Saudi Arabia.
I think he was trying to make a point. I was like, dude, maybe now is not the time to make a point. Let's get in the ring, get your money, and get out of the town before they decapitate you for something.
Yeah, before they take your head.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring that up because for ever since Halloween, Amy put up some wax paper or something like that and did the Stranger Things on our wall with the lights and painting the letters that the Winona Ryder did. A couple of weeks ago, she finally decided it was time to take that down.
Oh, it's like Christmas is finally over. Halloween
is finally over. Yeah. Let's take those down. And part of the reason is because she has a couple of Marvel posters. Like we had posters for Infinity War that have everybody on it. I got one of those.
Yeah.
And she wanted to hang that up. But she also, some friends of ours, Stacey and Mark. Hi, Stacey and Mark. Got us the Captain America Winter Soldier poster, like the theatrical poster.
Nice.
Which is funny because Cap is like standing with his back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're
looking at America's ass.
You're looking at America's ass.
Yeah.
Before that joke even had, years before that joke happened, which makes me wonder if that has something to do with that joke. But right. she took a post-it note and put it right there. It says, that's America's ass.
Oh, I thought she put it up like the censor it. Like, that ass is too powerful, too big, and too great to even look at.
Yep, nope, that's America's ass right there.
You go.
So that was, if you haven't seen Endgame yet, we just spoiled one of the funniest jokes for you in the movie. So you need to go, because like we're talking.
If you haven't seen Endgame yet, don't cry about it, because you're irresponsible.
Yeah. At this point, on a podcast like this that celebrates nerddom.
Right.
I think we're past the... safe haven on spoilers.
This is the point where I would just blurt out all the spoilers, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even an actual spoiler for the story. I mean, it ruins a joke.
It's one line.
Yeah.
Right.
One sentence.
While we're talking about the Marvel movies, they had the MTV Awards. I think it was Monday.
And nobody noticed.
They aired on Monday. I think they actually happened over the weekend.
Did they? All right.
Yeah, well, that's how much I was paying attention. No one noticed.
The one thing I saw that came out of it, though, is Captain Marvel won an MTV Award and Brie Larson brought her stunt doubles up on stage with her. Accept the award. How cool is that, man? Like, hey, here's the people that like did a bunch of the work, but you know, you just saw their name in the credits. They don't really get a lot of publicity. So here's people that made me look badass.
Right. Kind of thing. That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice way to pay homage to the people that help you out.
Well, yeah. You know, it's nice to recognize what?
I was just thinking, because let's say that was me and I wanted to do a similar tribute. None of the guys would look anything like me. They'd be huge, hunky dudes, like totally ripped and buff, and I'd be there looking like a slob. Like,
right.
I want to just give credit to all these hunky dudes behind me for making me look so good in the movies. And they'd be African American, Asian bodybuilders, like nobody that even resembles me in the slightest.
So Conan does that. Like he'll do stuff where like he'll do a bit where he has to take his shirt off, and they'll do a camera cut from the neck down.
Maybe that's
shredded.
Maybe that's where that idea came from. A little seed that Conan planted, in my brain back in the day.
Yeah.
There's a series leading up to. I briefly mentioned the X-Men series that's coming out with Jonathan Hickman. There's a series on YouTube of videos that are kind of taking the iconic moments from X-Men leading up to this and talking to some of the creators that are either have currently worked on the books or actually worked on the books. Like one of them, they talk about Chris Claremont's run in the X-Men.
Yeah.
And they talk to Chris Claremont briefly about it, which is kind of cool. The reason I bring it up, I'm sure you haven't seen any of them.
No.
Because I haven't brought them to your attention, which...
It's cool they got Claremont, though.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen them because you haven't bought them and brought them to him yet.
Right. But the thing that I found fascinating is one of the guys they talked to is Jason Aaron. He looks nothing like... I never even thought about, like, I wonder what Jason Aaron looks like physically. But I saw his name pop up. I'm like, oh, it's Jason Aaron. Neat.
I swear I've seen him in the back of a book or something.
He was wearing a wrestling t-shirt, too. A Finn Balor t-shirt.
There we go. Yeah.
Finn Balor forever.
Balor Club.
Yeah, right. But they're really cool because one video is about like the original, the launch of the X-Men. One is about the giant size X-Men launch.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Dark Phoenix video. There's a video about X-Men number one, the Jim Lee X-Men number one. There's a video about Grant Morrison's run on X-Men. And then the last
Grant
video.
Morrison, there he is again. Son of a bitch.
The last video is about the, you know, them leading into this new thing. It's gotten me real hyped for the new books that are coming out. But I know I'm going to get to like issue 3 of them and be like, this is what I hate about Jonathan Hickman's writing.
Yeah.
None of this seems to matter, but 2 years from now, it's all going to matter.
Right.
We
talk many times about writing for the trade, and that's definitely Hickman.
For sure. Yeah.
So you're going to have...
But it made me think of, like, because we all work in radio, and if anybody is very familiar with the idea of, like, you look nothing like I expected, it's radio people.
Yeah.
Like, I think it even happens to us. You'll hear somebody... on the air, and then you'll meet, you know, from a different station or something like that, and then you'll meet them while you're out, and you're like, wow, you don't look anything like I expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were black. Holy cow.
He tells me that every morning.
Yeah.
Well, everybody thinks Al is like a 90-year-old man.
It's true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, yeah. Al looks
like you would be much older.
Yeah, no, that and that has been a joke for a long time, but it, I've had legitimately had people ask if they actually thought I was like 60.
You look good for 60.
Well, I mean, I try. No, people will find my Instagram and say, I heard you on the air.
Right.
And then they're shocked when they actually see a photo of me and see that I'm just a really poor-looking 32.
Right.
Well, they probably picture you looking like Rip Van Winkle, white hair, a big white beard.
Right. Yeah.
So, I think that's who that character is I'm trying to reference.
So, yeah, that was that's going on. And I've got a little bit more news for you, and it's all Ghostbuster related.
Yeah.
So I know that's James is very interested.
Yeah, dude, I'm on the hunt for some new Ghostbusters toys.
Yeah, there's some coming.
Kenny's got to help me out.
There's some coming, and I'll tell you more about them coming up after the break.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, you got Larry B. Scott from Revenge of the Nerds, Party, 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 and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, we're back with more Nerd Radio for you this week, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. As part of the B-Pod Studios Network, you can download us pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts, whether it's iTunes or Spotify or wherever. You can stream
Google
us, you can download us, Google Play. We're everywhere. Everywhere. So, Ghostbusters, man. You've heard the news. Ghostbusters is going to be coming back.
Yeah.
Ivan Reitman's supposed to be working on a movie. They're collecting all the actors to come back.
Quite worried.
Yeah, I was going to say, because correct me if I'm wrong, but you're not really all that excited about
it. No, because
movie.
You know what? I got all excited for the last one and I was, you know, a little worried and really like anxious about how they're going to do. And I actually really enjoyed it. I thought they did a great job with it. But I just get my ass handed to me by people on the internet and people that deem themselves movie critics about how horrible the movie was. So I'm like,
I still haven't seen it.
Like, whoa, I don't know. Well, like, what are they going to do with this one that they didn't do in the last one? Like, how is this one going to be so much better?
Right.
You know, and if that's the case, why didn't they do what they want to do now with the last one? You know? And my big thing, cause I think I've heard like Bill Murray is now will be involved or he's into it. Cause my whole thing was if Bill Murray's not into it, don't do it.
Yeah. Bill Murray.
Don't even bother.
They got Bill Murray from what I understand. I can't think of that. Dan Aykroyd is going to be a part of it. I think he's even helping write it. Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, of course, worked on the movie. Harold Ramis will not be in this movie because
he is
no longer with us. But they announced this week that Annie Potts will be returning as Janine.
Oh, awesome.
So that'll be cool for sure. And one of the things I definitely wanted to tell you about is over the weekend, there was a big sale because we talked last week about E3.
Yeah.
So there was a sale on PlayStation 4 Network and on the Nintendo Switch, whatever like that. So one of the games that I was kind of wanted for my Nintendo Switch, even though I had it for my PC, was Rocket League. It's the game with the
soccer with cars. Yeah, rocket cars.
Yeah, exactly. So I download Rocket League. I buy it because it's 50% off. It's like $10, and I'm like, all right, cool. I can play Rocket League on my Switch. They're having an event right now that's like an 80s event or whatever like that.
I saw that.
And they've had different cars in Rocket League before, but they have the Ghostbusters car in Rocket League right now.
Oh,
and part of the
to play that game.
Part of the event right now is there's a specific mode that plays like the spooky Ghostbusters song and the
bump bump nah 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 or a different one.
It's a different one. It's one of like the spookier ones from the movie.
I don't know, but can we put that out on an album?
Bump bump nah 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 bump bump nah nah nah.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry, you want me to keep going? I can do the whole tune if you want, but
I was going to turn that into a ringtone.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt it.
James sings your ringtone.
Yeah.
That's a new business. JamesSingsYourRingtones.com.
But they've got a special mode where the ball, instead of bouncing all over the place and like landing on the ground, hovers a little bit above the ground like a ghost.
Oh.
And what you're supposed to do is you can jump up and like knock the ball towards the net, but instead of it being a net, there's a area kind of like a ghost trap that it has to stay in within 2 seconds. And the cool thing is every like 7 seconds, something like that, you have a proton pack laser that you can grab the ball with drag it downfield.
It's interesting. It's weird to me, the things that some games grasp onto to help market themselves like movies. Cause I would never put Rocket League and Ghostbusters, you know, together.
Right.
It's weird, but it's really cool. I like the ideas that they're coming up with.
Or even some of the comics, like the Ninja Turtles, Batman.
Ninja Turtles, Batman. Why the hell would they ever team up? But they make a great team.
Right.
Yep,
they make
a
great team. Once they realize they're all on the same team, they make a great team.
Yeah,
I'd like to see in Rocket League, can we get Slimer like coming out and throwing hot dogs at people or something?
That would be hilarious.
Like, you know, that would be fun.
That would be amazing. They've already had like the Back to the Future DeLorean in there, and they've got the Batman cars that you can download for, you know, a buck or something like that to change your car into that car. But it's cool that they made this extra mode. Mm-hmm. For the summer of 80s stuff.
Yeah, well, because it's like the 35th anniversary of the original Ghostbusters, like right around now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know they had like a big Ghostbusters celebration. I know Ghostbusters Detroit, I think, were invited out.
I didn't realize that.
They had some stuff going on.
I like Ghostbusters, but I'm not like a big fan like you are or Eric down the hallway.
For sure.
You know.
Yeah. That's like what you grew up on, like MASH and stuff, right?
Yes, right.
So I grew up on Ghostbusters. Like, that's what I watched all the time.
I grew up in 1942.
Is Hogan's Heroes and John Wayne movies.
Heroes. Yeah. I Love Lucy.
Yep. The other bit of Ghostbusters news I wanted to tell you about is that they announced that at San Diego Comic-Con this year, they already have the Ecto-1 as a Transformer that's going to be in retail stores this summer. At San Diego Comic-Con, they're having a special Optimus Prime that is in Ecto-1 colors that his trailer has Slimer on it or has the Ghostbuster stuff on top of it. And then when you open it up, Slimer's in the trailer.
That's cool. That's awesome. I love when they mash that stuff up together like that. That's cool.
It's one of the masterpiece Optimus Prime. So it takes like a half an hour to transform him, but he's super poseable and whatever like that. And
you have to like take a break to assemble him.
You do. You do.
Well, I got his legs together and I got to flip all this other stuff around.
Right. Don't try making the sound while you're doing it, because you're going to be making that sound for a long time.
Continue with the show. I'm still playing
just making
with my
the sound, right
here.
For sure. I did want to say before we leave, too, that I put down the gauntlet a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to see double-digit reviews. And we are exactly double-digit reviews.
We have 10?
We went from 7 to 10. We have 10 reviews.
All right!
All 5 stars.
All 5 stars. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, all 10 of you people, or at least all 8 of you, because I think Elle's 2 of them, went on the iTunes and reviewed us. And I encourage more of you. If you want to help us out as a podcast, the best way to do it is to publicly let people know that you enjoy our podcast, whether it's on social media, whether you go to iTunes and you give us the ratings, or wherever you're listening to us, give us a rating or a review. And if you don't like what you hear, of course, let us know that too. And we'll change the show up a little
bit.
And
I fully encourage anybody who wants to streak with a flag that just says Nerd Radio.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
just
we can
hold
use that
flag high as you're streaking through the streets and the cops are chasing you.
Right. If you need both your hands for activities while you're streaking, you can always hold the flag with your butt.
Yeah, that's a perfect spot. That's a perfect spot. You might not be able to run as fast because you're going to have to do more of like a waddle.
Yeah.
And the cops will probably catch you a lot faster, but hey, it'd be a much better YouTube video.
It'll look much funnier.
Especially when you're throwing up double middle fingers or something. Throw up the shocker, maybe. Suck on that, coppers!
Yeah, well.
You'll never take me alive. Well, you got me. You're beating me.
What a load.
Oh, man. That's it.
I can almost taste it. So bad.
Show's over. I'll talk to you guys next week. Well, I'll talk to you guys at home next week with some more Nerd Radio. You guys, I have no idea. I may never talk to you again after all.
That's an excellent
disgusting
choice. That's an excellent
That's
choice.
Gross.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
And hey, we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Bastards.
I like how that went.
Hey, man. When you said flavor, I was like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I can bring that back around.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Bring it right back to Perv Town.
That's what you're here for.
Yes. That's what I do best.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.